My mother was an English teacher in New York City. My father was a history teacher. Almost all of my father's cousins were teachers. Even my great aunt Ida was a teacher in New York City. I come from a long line of teachers. And these teachers, they taught me things. My father was big on vocabulary. My daughter came home once from a week with my father and said, "I know the difference among translucent, transparent, and opaque." She was five. He taught me lots of words, my father, and he was a photographer. He also taught photography, and he taught me photography. He taught me how to look at the world, how to compose a photograph. He taught me to love and appreciate history. My mother taught me how to write a poem and how to make a collage out of driftwood and lobster claws and seashells. She taught me how to read and how to write, and how to write a letter A with serifs. As my parents were both New York City high school teachers, they had long summer vacations, and when I was very young, we'd spend part of the summer on the coast of Maine. That's where my father taught me to respect water. He showed me how the water shaped the rocks. He let me see how the tide came in and out, and that we had to be mindful of that. He showed me how powerful and strong the water was, and he taught me how to bait and hook and catch a fish in the water, too. And there was this wonderful jetty with a broken bit about three quarters of the way out. You could only go all the way out during the low tide, because during high tide, the water covered the broken bit. Once, my father wasn't paying much attention, and he got caught out on the far end of the jetty. I learned something from that, too. I learned that my father made mistakes, that there are real consequences to our actions, that sometimes the only thing we can do is wait it out. That's what he had to do, you know. He had to stay on the far end of that jetty until the tide went out again. Our parents are generally our first teachers, but not our only teachers. We have teachers in school, formal teachers. I can remember my favorite teachers. I can still hear their voices in the back of my head from time to time. And if you don't think I hear my preaching professor every time I get in the pulpit, there was Mr. Clancy, my high school chemistry teacher, and Dr. O, my high school economics teacher. Mr. Clancy died some years ago, but I still keep in touch with Dr. O, possibly because I come from a long line of teachers, or perhaps because I've had a chance to do some teaching myself. I have a great respect for the teaching profession. I'm grateful to those who've dedicated their lives to teaching all of us, at all ages, all the different things we need to know and want to know. These are the people who are intentionally helping us to grow. And it's a lot of work. My father used to tear up his lesson plans at the end of every year. He didn't want to get bored by repeating the same things every year, so he'd recreate his lesson plans before the beginning of each school year. I suspect most teachers don't do this. My father was unusual. But he was certainly engaged. And engaged teachers are a great way to have engaged students. But learning isn't something that happens only in a classroom, and it isn't something that happens only in one direction. One of the things I've learned is how much I've learned from those whom I've taught, especially from my children. I mean, I know I've taught my children, but wow, have my children taught me. Now, there are the things you might expect. Sure, I tried to teach my own father how to use email, And I remember when we taught my husband how to send text messages, and I usually ask my 23-year-old daughter to explain new features on my phone to me. She's good at stuff like that. But I've learned much bigger things as well. My children have taught me about flexibility. You see, children just don't fit into a schedule. We make plans and then something happens that we never considered and we have to adapt. I've learned from emergency school pickups and runs to the emergency room and late night unexpected pickups of stranded teenagers that I can adapt and go with the flow. I've learned to see things through different eyes. I've even learned to see myself through someone else's eyes. Now that's really something. Perhaps one of the most important influences on my own way of being in the world has been to see myself in my children. It's so much easier to identify a behavior in others. I see some of you have had this experience, yes. And I've seen my children getting uptight about things that I used to get uptight about. It's a little like looking in a magnifying mirror. And that's humbling. As teachers, we want our students to succeed. If a student surpasses our skill or knowledge, that's the ultimate sign of success as an educator. In our reading this morning, we see this sort of relationship between Harry and Professor Dumbledore. Harry has learned so much from the headmaster of Hogwarts, and Professor Dumbledore recognizes Harry's mastery and encourages him by telling him, "I am not worried, Harry. I am with you." Dumbledore is the master, but he has placed himself completely in the hands of his student. He trusts Harry completely. What a gift to both. I think it was a gift to me and to my children that I saw how they were learning my bad habits so well. It gave me an opportunity to see what it was doing to them and therefore to me. That then gave me an opportunity to consciously change my own behavior. And that in turn gave my children something else to model their own behavior after. Now, if you're a Harry Potter fan, and there might be one or two of you here, you know that Harry learned a lot from Professor Dumbledore, including some of Professor Dumbledore's less desirable habits. Do you think he was able to recognize this and adapt? Well, I'll leave that to you to decide. Since I entered seminary and then the ministry, I've had many opportunities to learn inside and outside the classroom as well. It's been my honor to visit and to serve many different churches and to see how things are done in different places. It's been like having a mirror to look in. Just as Harry Potter had friends to point out the things he'd picked up that might not have been the best practice, I also was able to see things in a new way. I've learned that things that I used to believe were exactly how church ought to be done were being done in other ways in other churches. And some of those things might work better. I learned that we could change things in church and that we'd still be the church. I learned that we could disagree in an agreeable way, that we could have conflict and still treat each other with kindness and respect, and we could resolve the conflict even if we never came to full agreement. We've dedicated our religious education teachers today, which might sound a bit redundant as they're already pretty dedicated folks. But we know that these dedicated folks in the classrooms with our children aren't the only teachers here. And we know that our children aren't the only students. Teaching and learning is happening all over this religious community all the time, in and out of classrooms. So what might we be learning in the next few months? What new things might we be able to see ourselves doing? Now, I'm fairly certain that the things we'll be doing won't require a tribute of blood. But like Harry, I'd be willing to bet that there'll be some magic. And remember that the most powerful magic is... Oh, come on, you Harry Potter fans. The most powerful magic is love. What might we accomplish? What might we learn with the powerful magic of love? I invite you now to think of the things that we might want to learn to undo, redo, or try differently. I'm even going to make a tiny suggestion. I know one thing that I would like you to imagine and even try that will help me as your new interim minister. I'd like to suggest that you try wearing your name tags. Some of you are doing this, but it would certainly help me as I try to put all the names with all the faces that I'm trying so hard to remember. And maybe that will help with visitors who come in and are trying desperately to remember that too. So that's one suggestion I will make. But I'm going to ask you now to turn to your neighbor in the pews and tell your neighbor one thing. First of all, turn to your neighbor and say, hello, neighbor. Okay. And I'm going to ask you to, just hello. Not, okay. Yeah. I'm going to ask you to tell your neighbor in the pews one thing, that you might want to learn to change. One thing that you might want to learn to change. I'll give you a minute. I'm going to time this and call you back in, okay? So go ahead. All right. All right. All right, class, if you settle down, you get to have coffee in the coffee hour. Class. Does anybody remember Sister Mary Elephant? Okay. Don't worry, you'll have more time to think about this and talk about this in coffee hour and in the coming week. Now, since we've been talking about teaching and learning, I'm going to give you some homework. Homework. I want a three-page, no. I'd like you to think about something that you'd like to change or that you'd be willing to change here in the church and tell someone else about it. It can be a tiny thing like the color of the bathroom or a huge thing like joining the United Church of Canada. I'm not asking you to make a commitment to doing this, you understand? I'm just asking you to think about a thing that you might like to change or might be willing to change. That's right? We're just thinking and talking. Let's have a conversation. I'm sure we're going to learn from each other. Namaste.